Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
All right, back in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. We have nothing but love for this guy. He brings the thunder every time he joins us in the Sports Bar. Talking about Thor Nystrom, NBC Sports Edge. Oh, the Marvel heads all know what I'm doing there, Gino. You didn't catch up on them.
Thor,
our superhero of the spread during the college football season. How are you, buddy?
Danger, Battaglia, good to be with you guys. I'm doing great.
Yeah, Thor, we last talked to you on draft day. So, I mean, I think we're just kind of wading into the pool here. It's 4th of July weekend. A lot of people will be reading up on the college football season. What are your thoughts? We'll start here on the changing landscape of college football. Is this something we're going to notice right off the bat? There might be some other programs that figure out loopholes, say a Texas A&M or whoever. Who might take advantage here of the changing rules of college football?
The schools that have the most money inside their booster bases, and then the boosters that are the most organized. You've seen some of these schools jump on it really early. Miami's one of them. They have this rich guy that's like running their consortium. The other schools that have done that and put the boosters together into an NIL collective, those are the teams that have been, treating this like free agency and popping a lot of guys and getting a lot of people in. So it's the schools that have the most money. I mean, the rich are going to get richer going forward. It's free agency is what it is.
Thor, what about what's going on in Texas? I mean, I got to imagine that Steve Sarkisian is smiling from ear to ear, knowing that he landed Arch Manning. And while it might not be this year, that program could be returning to some relevancy here very soon.
That's for sure. Yeah, in my numbers just for this coming season, I have them number 9, which is they finished last year in my system. They finished 40th in the nation. I see a huge uptick from them coming this coming season. And then you mentioned Arch Manning's coming in the season after that. I think some people were scratching their head in my industry and some coaches around the nation because they expected him probably to go to Georgia merely because you had a much better shot at early playing time on a team that was going to contend for a national title. Whereas you go to Texas, one of the reasons they're jumping up big this year is they got rid of Casey Thompson and the whole quarterback rotation that they had last year. They bring in Quinn Ewers from Ohio State, a kid who had reclassified into the class before that. And was the number, he would have been the number one quarterback in either of those classes. He's very analogous to Matthew Stafford. He has kind of this like wonky throwing motion that's sort of like three quarters, but the ball just explodes out of his hand. It's one of those things. So he's going to start this coming year for sure, but he's got 1 year of eligibility after that. So that's why people were confused that Arch Manning picked Texas, because in 2023 in fall camp or whatever, you're going to have this battle royale between two of the more ballyhooed quarterbacks the last 5 years going head-to-head. And if Ewers has a really good season this coming season like we're expecting him to, it's hard to imagine that they would then bench him. So Arch Manning might have to sit a year on the bench, which you wouldn't think that it would be his prerogative. However, he's a different kind of a cat, and he's sort of in a different situation than a lot of top recruits that we've seen coming to the nation recently, in that he didn't get, he got a ton of pub from the media, but we haven't heard from him much. The family did a really good job of protecting him. And the family also said, we're not interested in the NIL money. Like, it's just not a part of our decision-making process. And so I think a lot of factors that really matter for other recruits they didn't as much for him. And the Mannings and Arch, they may not have cared so much that as a freshman, he's going to be the number two quarterback. I think that's why they picked Texas.
Thor Nystrom, NBC Sports Edge, our guest here in the Sports Bar as we're less than 2 months away from week zero games, getting you primed for college football. And one of the big changes, Clay Helton now at USC. And Thor, I really would love to see the Pac-12 just kind of reclaim their spot, because it seems like they've kind of really fallen behind. I'm sure you would agree as far as some of the other conferences. But what about the idea about Helton? How close, how much work does he got to do here to get USC? Because to me, that's a program that really is a sleeping giant.
Well, minor correction. You're talking Lincoln Riley. Clay Helton was the one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Slip of the tongue.
They got forced out. Yep. We can talk about Clay Helton and his Georgia Southern team as well. I got them 114th in the nation. He's going to have a really interesting transition there, because that's a school that's been running triple option, like the old school triple option, for a long, long time. And now Clay Helton's going to try to bring the air raid there. And it's not a guy that was known for schematics in the first place. So that's going to be a beautiful experiment that could just blow up in everyone's faces immediately. As for USC, my numbers on, I have them 33rd in the nation heading into the season, which doesn't sound super optimistic, but it actually is. Last year, they finished number 70th in my rankings. They had a terrible season. They missed the bowl game. Obviously, Helton got fired in September, but that's an uptick of 37 spots. That's one of the highest jumps from last season to this season in my rankings. I think TCU was number one they jumped up 40 spots, but USC, you know, right up there. They're going to be good. And the other thing that they got going for them, of course, they brought in a whole bunch of offensive firepower. Caleb Williams, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. Jordan Addison, who they signed because of their own NIL stuff, he's one of the best receivers in the nation. They also got Mario Williams, who was a five-star receiver out of South Florida the year before. He also followed over Lincoln and Caleb Williams and stuff like that. So the offense is going to be awesome right from the start. The defense is what they need to figure out. We just don't know yet, because they did the same thing they did on offense, but it's not the talent level of the kids that they brought in wasn't quite as high. They weren't getting the superstars there. So they're bringing in a bunch of role guys that they're going to have to figure out to form, you know, and hopefully an above average defense. If it's worse than that, they're going to be in a bunch of shootouts that could go the other way. But the other thing, like I said, that they got going for them is they're facing a really, really easy schedule. They got a couple tough games, but outside of that, they got a whole bunch of cream puffs. The two tough ones are they play at Utah. That's probably going to be a loss. And then they got Notre Dame as well. But, I mean, outside of that, again, in their non-conference, there's really nobody else outside of Notre Dame. And then in the conference play, the rest of the Pac-12 is kind of down, and they don't have to face a gauntlet there either. So they get sort of the underbelly. So I think that Lincoln could start really quickly. If he pulls off the upset at Utah, again, that's going to be a tough game. That's a team that I see as a top 10 team going into the season. But if they can pull that upset off, they might just run the table in the Pac-12, and then we'll see about the Notre Dame game and stuff like that. But it's going to be a fast start for Lincoln either way. I mean, they're not going to lose less than 8 games. They're probably going to finish somewhere between 8. The best case scenario would be 11-1 in the regular season, but I think it's going to be somewhere in there.
Thor, I want to be a bit of a futurist here when we talk about name, image, and likeness, how it's changed college football, how these NIL collectives at schools are able to offer athletes more money than they would make going pro. Specifically, you mentioned Miami. The report out there that Jaden Rashada's deal, NIL deal, is worth $9.5 million, which would be more lucrative than salaries that are being handed out in the NFL to Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, and the like. Will we see more college athletes sticking around and less leaving early to go to the pros? What does the NFL and I guess the NBA in a way as well, do they have an issue down the road and as far as how their rookie wage scale is placed in the CBA?
1,000% it changes the decision-making paradigm of those prospects that are on the fence, right? Like, in the past, we've lamented that you have so many early declarees for the NFL draft, where every single year we see guys who, if they would have gone back to school, they would have been a star in school, maybe, you know, raise their draft stock that way. But instead, they go into the draft, they go on draft, and then their football career is over, you know, 2-3 years, you know, whatever, maybe even right then. This is certainly going to change that. I mean, not only do the players get compensated in college, but like you mentioned, you have a different decision-making thing heading into that, you know, your final year of eligibility with the decision. Because it's like, you know, before it was like, oh, I can make no money, you know, and then be just eating dorm food or I could go to the NFL. I'm going to get a signing bonus, you know, whether I get drafted or not. At least I'm going to make immediate money. Whereas now, like you mentioned, there's going to be a lot of situations where the player would actually be leaving money on the table in that first year to declare for the draft. I actually think this is a fabulous development. You know, I don't care what anybody else says. It makes college better, and I actually think it makes the NFL better as well, because you're going to be keeping the players in college, you know, in the aggregate, you know, not individually, but in the aggregate, you'd be keeping them in school a little bit longer, developing them more, and hopefully they go to the NFL, again, in the aggregate, a little bit older and a little bit more mature. So I think it helps both games.
Thornton Eichstrom, NBC Sports Edge, our guest here in the Sports Bar. The ACC, we kind of knew this was coming, but it's official, getting rid of the divisions, which, I think that's great. Let's have the two best teams and leave it at that. Your thoughts on the new scheduling, and is anybody really, what program would be the one that kind of rise up, say, maybe is Clemson, can we say they're on the downswing? Are they going to be okay? And where does Syracuse actually fit into the picture of the ACC this year?
Yeah, so first things first, I'm with you. I love that, getting rid of the divisions. There's nothing worse than, you know, you have like a thing where you have like a team that's like, you know, 12-0 or 11-1, and then you have another team in their division that's like 10-2 or whatever, and then on the other side, the winner of the division's like 7-5, you know, and so like you have this awesome team that's not going to play. In the SEC, you know, it'll have a lot of manifestations too, because you have the one division that's a lot better than the other one. The whole thing was arbitrary with the divisions anyways. Just get rid of them and give us the best two teams. That's what the fans want. That's what the players want. That's what everybody wants that. So that part of it's great. As far as the ACC, we'll see if it jumps up better than it was last year. Last year was one of the worst ACC seasons that I've seen in a really long time. It was the reason that Pitt was able to so quickly ascend, because they also caught the schedule really good, and you had a bunch of these crappy ACC teams. As for Clemson, it all comes down to the quarterback position. I mean, last year, if DJ Uiagalelei had played as he did in the brief times that we saw him filling in for Trevor Lawrence the year before that, they would have been a playoff contender. But DJ Uiagalelei, for whatever reason, he stunk. We thought he was going to be the next Dante Culpepper when we, you know, he's a five-star recruit, you know, was one of the highest overall guys in his class. And like I said, as a true freshman, when we saw him, he was awesome. He's this enormous dual threat. He can push the ball down the field, all this different kind of stuff. But last year, his accuracy was scattershot. He was under duress a lot, and he was making a lot of poor decisions when he was under pressure. And so, I mean, that tanked the whole offense. And then they had some injuries at the skill positions as well. We'll see if Uiagalelei is better. They only got one bullet in the holster if he's not. And it sort of goes, it harkens back to the year where they had Kelly Bryant and then Trevor Lawrence, and Lawrence ended up taking over for Bryant in September. They brought in this kid, Paul Klubnik, from Texas. He's actually from Austin. They pulled him out of there. He's, you know, was the number one quarterback in this class, top five overall recruit. If Uiagalelei falls on his face again, you got to bring in Klubnik, and then you got to hope that as a true freshman, he can, you know, give you the jolt like Trevor Lawrence did. But outside of that, they don't got any other bullets, because Dabo Swinney hates the transfer portal. And so, like, he's like, you know, he's sort of like boycotting it by not, you know, signing any guys or whatever. So they're a team that should have brought in a veteran quarterback, I think, you know, at least for insurance, but did not. So, but I still have them top four. I have them as the fourth team in the preseason. The defense is going to be awesome. Their running back room is really good. The wide receiver core is always stacked. So, again, it's just going to depend on if Uiagalelei jumps up. And then for the other teams, I think the sleeper team in that, this isn't just my opinion, but my numbers certainly see it, is NC State in the ACC. I got them number 13 heading into the season. I have my numbers have them one spot behind Pitt, but personally, I'd probably put them ahead of Pitt, just because Pitt lost so much. Although we'll see how good Keaton Slovis is. If Keaton Slovis can turn back the clock to what he was as a freshman at USC, that team might not, you know, drop off a ton. So we'll just have to see about that. As far as Syracuse, they're another team that I see improving this coming season. Last year, they finished 74th in my ranking. So right around where USC was, I have Syracuse right now at number 50. So I have them jumping up 24 spots. They got one of the best running backs in the nation and one of the most dangerous running backs in the nation in Sean Tucker. I mean, you guys know speed kills, and that guy's got it in spades. And then Garrett Schroeder, not the best passer, but certainly as a compliment to Tucker as far as a running option, you know, sort of a hammer at the quarterback position running the ball. You're going to have the good rushing attack again, and you can wear down defenses by playing up tempo, you know, in that vein. We'll see what they can do on defense. But if they're scoring dang near every single possession, they're able to control the clock and stuff like that, if the defense gets just a bit better, I think it could be another year where you see multiple upsets that they pull off over teams in the Carrier Dome.
Thor, the SEC, I'm sure, will be entertaining, this coming season, but it's going to be hard to be more entertaining than what we've had so far this offseason. The war of words between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, and now certainly with Brian Kelly in the mix at LSU. I'm curious to see how you have the SEC stacked up heading into this season. Will Brian Kelly make some inroads there with the Tigers, and will somebody, you know, other than Georgia or Alabama, be rising up to kind of take them down?
Yeah, I think LSU, you can consider them a dark horse in that division for sure. Kelly's a great coach, and they also brought in a bunch of stuff in the transfer portal. I'm not the biggest fan of the quarterback they signed, Jaden Daniels, but they do have Miles Brennan coming back, who had started, you know, sort of coming off the Joe Burrow era. So between the two, Kelly gets to pick between the pocket passing Brennan and then the dual threat guy in Daniels. Daniels is really good as a true freshman at Arizona State, and then he's remained the same runner, but it's weird. He's like the Benjamin Button of passers for his collegiate career. Like every year it gets worse. So it's supposed to be the inverse of that, of the Benjamin Button. But anyway, he's been going down. We'll see it playing with the receivers at LSU as it might have the best in the nation in Kayshon Boutte, who's going to be a first round pick next spring. Maybe that'll help him out, you know, if he ends up playing. But if they can figure out some of those things, I think they're going to jump up. I have them 16th, which is a 30 spot jump from where they finished last year. My numbers, as far as the top of the division, you hit on them. This Alabama team could be one of the best college teams of the last 5 years. It's really ridiculous. They're bringing back two guys that are going to get picked in the top three probably in the spring, in Bryce Young at quarterback and then Will Anderson at the edge. They were already going to bring back beyond that, you know, Jordan Battle, they're bringing back all these different guys. But in addition to that, they somehow added some of the most talent of any team in the transfer portal. Eli Ricks from LSU, the cornerback, he could be a first-round pick. In fact, at this point, he probably is a probable first-round pick. They got him. They got Jahmyr Gibbs from Georgia Tech, who's one of the best running backs in the nation. They stole Jermaine Burton from Georgia. Burton was going to be one of their top receivers, was last year as well. He's going to be one of Alabama's top receivers now. So I have them. I've got Alabama about a half a point above Ohio State in my rankings. And then those two are well above everybody. I got Georgia third. I'm not sure if I'm not toggling them down enough because of what they lost, but you also can't, because they lost almost a historic amount of talent to the NFL draft, but you can't forget what they're bringing back. I mean, they have multiple first round picks just on defense on that team. They also have one of the most interesting conglomerations of tight ends that we've seen in modern college football, because they already had the young kid Bowers, who's a stud receiver. They had this Washington kid who was an awesome run blocker. And this year, they're going to get eligibility for Eric Gilbert, who has a true freshman at LSU, five-star kid, who is immediately producing. He is a very, very talented kid. Probably the only guy you put over him, just in terms of talent, receiving the ball at tight end over the last 10 years, probably Kyle Pitts. And Gilbert might be, you know, next after that. He's had some off-the-field stuff, so he's going to have to get his head screwed on straight, you know, for this coming season. But assuming he's focused and locked in and plays every game, they got these three NFL tight ends, and then, you know, they still have receivers, even though they lost Burton. So they should be able to manufacture some kind of offense. I like them as well. And then I got Texas A&M number eight, so I'd have them number three in the SEC. Their talent's going up and up and up. You know, every single year you see, you know, Jimbo, you know, of course, this year, the thing you were talking about with him and Saban. Saban was not happy that A&M signed the number one recruiting class over him. But Jimbo's been recruiting like that ever since he got to College Station. You're starting to see the returns on that. They're going to be a dangerous team this year. You know, you wouldn't even call them a dark horse playoff contender because they could absolutely make it. So they're a contender for sure.
Our superhero of the spread, Thor Nystrom. Thor, I don't know the answer to this question. I think I do. Are you a Vikings fan?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. So where do you come on that? Was, oh, darn, we missed out on Harbaugh. Or, whew, thank goodness we didn't get Jim Harbaugh. Like, your thoughts on Harbaugh not working out with the Vikings. And I don't know, like, to me, it seems like if he was actually that optimistic about what was coming back from Michigan and their place in the world, why would he be entertaining offers from the NFL?
1,000%. Yeah. And yes, I was disappointed. I would have preferred Jim Harbaugh. I think O'Connell's going to do a decent job, and I think he was worth the shot as well. But my preference absolutely would have been Jim Harbaugh. You can argue with, like, you can dislike him as a person and think he's corny or think he's obnoxious or, you know, whatever. You can't argue with what he's done on the field. I mean, at both levels, right? I mean, like, he turned around that 49ers organization when he got into the NFL immediately, you know, and then they were in the NFC championships or Super Bowls every year. And then in college, I mean, just going up the ladder, he started at San Diego. He immediately improved them. Then he goes to Stanford, immediately improves them. Then he, you know, and then eventually, you know, it was Michigan, and he's turned them around too, got them back to the playoff when, you know, when they'd been sort of languishing around, you know, sort of like an 8-4 program for the last decade or so. So, I mean, just as far as like the proven track record and everything like that, I thought it was pretty perfect. I'm curious to know what went on there behind the scenes. I've heard some tidbits or rumors, but you never know what's true. But it seems like what the thing was is like, you know, what I've heard is like Harbaugh expected to get that job. But like, you know, and that was a part of the issue of why he didn't. Although, why wouldn't he expected to get it? He already worked with Kwesi before. He knew he had the best resume of anyone they were going to interview. If I was Jim Harbaugh, I would have gone into that interview expecting I was going to get the job. So I'm wondering if it was something else that had to do with philosophy, right? Like, did one of those two guys want to keep Kirk Cousins and the other guy didn't? The other guy wanted to blow it up, you know, had that idea going in? That I'm not sure of. But, I mean, just in general, as a coach, I would have preferred him for sure.
Thor, I can't wait to see what's next. We're going to say officially NBC Sports Edge's Thor Nystrom joining us here in the sports bar, but we know that there are big things on the horizon. And, man, we can't wait to get you on again to talk some more college football here as we approach the season.
Yeah, the next time I talk to you guys, I'm going to be at a different company, so I'm excited to announce that in the coming week here. But, yeah, it's always good to talk to you guys, and I hope we can do it soon.
Thor, you're the best. Appreciate it. Thanks so much, and enjoy your summer.
Appreciate you, boys. You too.
Got it. In the land of 10,000 lakes, there he is, Thor Nystrom. More coastline in the state of Minnesota than the rest of the continental United States combined. Did you know?
Really?
The land of 10,000 lakes. Yeah. Growing up there, that was ingrained in my skull. I had to make sure everybody knew that. Love catching up with Thor. And now, see, now you're a smarter college football fan because of it.
Astros have gone up on the Mets too. Up the ninth.
Saw that. You okay? Yeah. Game's not over, Gene. I'll drink to that is on the way next. We've got some takes on tap.
Oh, do we ever here? As I have thoughts on Serena Williams. I mean, certainly what happened yesterday. Is it the end of an era? I have thoughts on Serena and her early exit at Wimbledon. And do you remember Clint Frazier? Yeah, we can't call him that anymore. So thoughts on the former Yankee outfielder?
The ratings are out for the Stanley Cup final, and our thoughts were confirmed, but I'll explain why it's not all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns for the National Hockey League. And the NFL team that is the chokiest of all chokers. There's a stat that I came across today. When I saw it, I had to do a triple take. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. If I'm a fan of this team, I don't know why. I mean, they have to know. Fans of this team have to know. It's kind of an exercise in futility. They're you know what? They're the Toronto Maple Leafs of the NFL.
Wow.
I'll get into it more next with I'll Drink to That here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan. It is me, Mike Danger, for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 95.7 The Fan. This baseball season, you could turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Sign up using promo code Mike, M-I-K-E. Place your first bet. And FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. I love saying it. I'm on FanDuel every day. It's great with the promotions and the odds boost. Little chance to make some extra cash, safe and secure. And you get paid fast on America's number one sportsbook. No better place to bet America's pastime. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code Mike and get started with your no sweat first bet up to $1,000. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.